Be seated. Thanks so much, team. So here we are, week three of the kindness challenge, and I hope maybe you've been a little bit kinder, a little bit nicer to people along the way. I recognize that our big project this week, to do something over the top as a blessing to someone, is kind of difficult to share because we have this competing principle. Like, we want to celebrate that, but we also know that Jesus specifically told us, like, if you're really generous or really nice, don't tell other people about it. Keep it a secret. So I'll allow you to keep it a secret, but I do want to encourage you that if you felt good doing that, felt good, like, intentionally looking for someone to bless, there's no limitation on that. You could make that your new life. You could be looking all over the place. Your radar could always be on saying, Lord, who is the next person you'll bring into my view that I could share something with or care about or pray with? So I hope you keep that challenge going. So we want to dig in today because we have a variety of things to talk about and then a very specific and hopefully an enjoyable challenge at the very end of the service today. Okay, here's our key text for the series. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So our kindness challenge is derived right here from the Bible, that it's not just an option, like if you're, you know, kind of gifted for it or you really enjoy it or you happen to be outgoing, yeah, sure, go be kind. No, this is actually a biblical command to be kind and to imitate God at the, in the level of love and kindness and forgiveness that you extend to other people. So we want to learn how to do that, and this five-week series is to help us practice doing it. Okay, so we learned a few weeks ago that Jesus showcased kindness essentially in every interaction that he has. You read through the Gospels and you find out that especially the people that were difficult to be kind toward, Jesus would look right at them and he would extend his love in that direction. Jesus was known for being kind and he would even kind of break up the cultural norms in order to do that. So we want to follow his example. As disciples of Jesus, we want to look at the footsteps he left for us and put our feet in those same footsteps and do the same kind of lifestyle that he did. We also learned that kindness to everyone has to begin with kindness to someone. And that's where it gets a little bit more challenging, right? Because it's pretty easy to say, I agree with kindness. It's pretty easy to say, yes, I think we should all love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. But then if we point to our actual neighbor or the actual coworker or fellow student that we don't like so much and go, wait, hopefully not that person. Lord, I'm willing to be kind to everyone else. And I think that for us, if there's someone we kind of resist kindness toward, that's probably who we should go to first. Say, at very least, I want to follow the instruction of Christ and pray for the people who persecute me. Love my enemies. At the most, we want to do good for those and treat everyone the way that Jesus would have treated them. Okay, the personal kindness challenge gets really direct for any one of us. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, that could be that you live with someone or you work with someone or you go to school with someone that's especially difficult to love. And you say, I want to take it as a personal challenge to be kind to that individual. Okay? And so there's some coaching to do that. And even those little flyers we handed out in the first week that would give you 30 things to do to extend kindness in different directions. I won't ask you how many of you have checked all those boxes, but I do want to encourage you. Today, the box will be really easy to check because today's assignment is to encourage someone, and we're going to do that here at church. So you get the A-plus for the day, and then I encourage you to use that as a reason to keep going forward in the challenge. Last week, we looked throughout the scripture and found that God's kindness is the practical overflow of his caring and his love and his patience toward you. As you sort of channel that, as you say, Lord, in the same way that you're kind toward me, I want now to extend kindness out to others. Okay, and then the last little housekeeping thing is to remember there are some tools to help along the journey here this month. There's a book you can read if you want to go deeper. There's obviously life groups you can attend to discuss all of this. And my hope is that you'll participate in our church-wide kindness challenges, which started with that little flyer to kind of make it really personal. But then we have some of these bigger ticket items we get to do together just to practice being nice, to practice being kind. Trust me, you'll like it if you give it a shot, all right? So today we're going to do challenge number two, which is words of encouragement. I'll explain that at the very end of the service. Next week, we're filling a truck for ESS. So next week when you come to church, there'll be a truck parked in the front yard. And you'll get communications from the church this week about what we need you to bring, and that'll just be to share with people who are in need in our region, all right? So that'll be a neat way for us to corporately express some kindness. And then the week after that, we get to give blood. If you're able to do that, we'd encourage you to sign up. There's already a link on the website. There's a table in the gym. You can check in, learn a little bit about that. But that 6-2 is the Monday. So 6-1 is Sunday. We'll talk about it. We'll kind of wrap up our kindness challenge. And then, you know, just maybe as like you might even say sort of a premium expression of kindness is to give a little bit of yourself to someone in great need. So we'll practice that together as well. So getting into today's content, we want to read this from the Apostle Paul. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and the drinkers get drunk. But let us live in the light, let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we're dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. That's amazing news, right? That's what we believe. That's what the gospel leads us to. But here's the challenge to you and I. Encourage each other and build each other up just as you've already been doing. That is on the basis of what we believe together about Jesus, about salvation, about the hope in this dark world. When we gather together, the point is to encourage one another, to give each other courage so that we can keep in the fight, so that we can stay as soldiers of light and not fall to the darkness. Okay, so I'd like to just zero in on that phrase, encourage each other and build each other up. And I hope that in the next few minutes, you'll maybe get a little bit of a practical track laid on how you could do that even today and then certainly throughout the week. So first, the word encouragement means to strengthen, to fill with courage, to offer heart, to help someone keep going. If you look at the etymology of it in English, it comes from Old French and Latin kind of mixed together. And the idea is actually like sharing heart with somebody. You know, you think about somebody who's walking along kind of discouraged, they're running out of steam, they're struggling, and somebody who's a friend comes up next to them and encourages them. And what should that do? It helps them to kind of stand back up and keep moving forward. So we can encourage each other that way. We can come next to one another and help each other share heart, share courage, share strength with another person. I think there's a sort of a flimsy, maybe chintzy version of encouragement that we might settle for, which would just be sort of like, hey, have a great day. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that, but that's not, the Bible's giving us a little bit of a deeper challenge than just that. It's not just high-fiving somebody, it's actually giving them strength. It's giving them heart. So when we look at the biblical term for encouragement, it's usually translated parakaleo, meaning to call to one's side, to exhort, to encourage. And I like that image of, you know, calling to one side. Think of someone who's an encourager. They're not preaching at you. I mean, they could, right? Hopefully this is an encouraging interaction you're having right now, but it's not. This wouldn't be the ideal way to encourage people. The best way would be like you're on your journey, you're walking, you're struggling, and somebody comes next to you and does it with you. So that's coming alongside and walking next to you. That's encouragement. That's what we're called to do one to another. That's one of the reasons that being involved in church is so important. It's not just so you can hear preaching or sing along with things or pray together. It's also so that you can find community to encourage you to share strength no matter what you're going through. Okay, so as you open up the New Testament, you'll find a couple different uses of this word encouragement, how it sort of lays out. One would be instructional encouragement, which we do every Sunday here at BCBC, right? That's where myself or one of our other communicators stands up and says, in some way, I encourage you to do something. I challenge you to do something. Here's what God's word says. Let's go do it together. That would be instructional corporate encouragement. So Paul did that in 1 Corinthians. He said, I parakaleo you. I come alongside and challenge you. Dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Jude said, I must parakaleo you to defend the faith. He said, like, I'd love to be encouraging in the like a positive way and tell you all about how joyful it is to be a Christian, but man, we're under pressure right now. So I'm challenging you. I'm coming alongside you to say you've got to defend your faith and beware. Okay, so sometimes there's instructional challenge, which we would say is encouragement. Okay, but here's where our kindness challenge leads us to. It's a little bit more peer-to-peer. It's where you and I encourage one another. Hey, Hebrews calls it out twice. You must parakaleo each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. And then 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but parakaleo one another. Keep coming alongside one another. That's the reason why online church, or just watching it, I guess, isn't enough, right? I mean, there's elements there we could celebrate, but there has to be a dynamic where people are with you on the journey. Whether it's online or live, you've got to be together with someone on the journey. It's not just one-way communication. It's somebody standing next to you. So I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to read what I think is one of the most encouraging texts about encouragement in the whole New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1. About how God uses the encouragement that he sends to you as a way of encouraging other people. So if you have your own Bible there, I encourage you to open that up and turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. And we'll read from verse 3. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. The more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. And even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. And then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that you share in our sufferings. You will also be sharing, or you will also share in the comfort God gives us. So, when I see that, and I think about all the comfort I've received from God, and recognize that is coming to me, not just for me, but so that I can share it, that is a challenge. I think about how much God has seen me through. I think about the family struggles I've gone through, or the personal challenges, the temptations, the trials, the moments of need, and think God was there for me in those moments. But now that he's been there for me in those moments, I get to turn and share that same kind of comfort with others. So I want to show you something about this text that I think is interesting as we see the word comfort happening over and over and over again as we read that, right? So if you are curious about what that word is, you could do a little bit of a word study and find out that each occurrence of the word comfort is a derivative of the same word we're saying is encouragement, parakaleo, that comforting someone is the same thing. It's standing next to them. It's being with them. So you could say in the same way that God has stood with you, you go stand with someone else. In the same way that God has loved you and encouraged you in your dark valleys or in your victories, now you go and extend that same kind of comfort to the next person, that same encouragement. So I think that's amazing, right? To think we're not trying to muster up the strength to be comforting, encouraging, and challenging to one another out of our own sort of willpower. No, we're responding to the grace of God in our lives. The more he pours into us, the more we can serve other people. So when I think about how this lays out practically, I think of the times when I look at things I've walked through as a guy or as a parent or as just all the kind of different categories of life. And I think when I can really help another person as an encourager, usually it's those scenarios where I've kind of been where they're at. Would you agree with that? I mean, or when someone encourages us, right? And any of us could put our arm around somebody and say, I want to encourage you, my brother or my sister, but it means something different if you know that they've walked the same difficult road that you're now having to walk. Say that they've got some comfort, some wisdom from God that I can pull strength from. And so that's our calling here, is to say even the rough things we've gone through are a part of how God uses us to extend encouragement one to another. Okay, so I think that it's kind of an instructive thing to look through the scripture here and notice that in all of these one another commands, the road of discipleship that's laid in front of us is actually a road of seeing what Jesus did and then imitating him, just like our core verse says to. Okay, it's practicing forgiveness the way that he forgives us. or love the way he loves us, show mercy as he showed it, serve as he served, and now hear from Paul in 1 Corinthians, comfort as he comforts. And so if you want to walk as a disciple of Jesus, this is the path, right? The path would be to imitate his way of interaction, his way of reaction, his way of dealing with people that are around him. And you say, Lord, in the same way that you're loving me and caring for me, I want to now do that for others. So just a little personal inventory you might take is to say, well, what comfort have I received from God in my life? So just think about for a second, what are some of the tough things you've gone through over the course of your walk with the Lord? Maybe some tragedies. Maybe it's not all tough things. Maybe you've gone through some really amazing things. And you go, I'm so grateful God was with me in those times. So you start to think about that and you say, all right, is it possible that God would use that part of my life as a way that now I can extend his sort of love and comfort to other people? And I would tell you from personal experience, yes, absolutely, that is what God will do with your trials. It's not that God would necessarily bring a trial into your life and make you suffer so that you can be used in that way, but I do believe that if you've suffered, God can give purpose to that suffering there as you walk through things and you overcome, and now you get to share with someone else the comfort you receive from God. It's an amazing way that he works. I'd also note as a little sidebar here that this is a great reason to be honest with your own story to other people. Sometimes when we come to church and really to any interaction in life, we kind of want to polish up our image so that people think better of us. I understand that instinct. I have it too. But here's the thing. If people see the polished up version of who we are, then we don't get to comfort them the way God comforted us, right? Because we have to tell the truth about what we dealt with so that we're able to comfort the other people that are dealing with that same thing. So as you share your testimony, you don't have to whitewash it. You can say, no, this is where I came from. This is how God worked in my life. Now let me walk next to you as you deal with whatever it is you're facing as well. Okay, so there's one more layer here before we get to our practical challenge. And I think this is amazing. This is supernatural. Hey, when we think about, like, wow, great challenge to be encouraged, we see it through the scriptures, we should be there for one another, we should be challenging each other, weeping with each other, celebrating with each other. Now look at this. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, his disciples didn't know it yet, but he was preparing them, he was kind of coaching them there in the right around the Last Supper. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. So Jesus had been there advocating for them. Jesus had been there teaching them. And he says, you know what? I'm about to leave, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you another advocate. Okay, guess what the word advocate is in Greek? It's paraclete, which is the same idea. It's comfort. It's encouragement. It's the person who would stand with you, who would come alongside you. And so Jesus literally, physically was that for his disciples, right? He was actually walking along the road next to them, encouraging them. He says, I'm about to leave, but I'm not going to leave you without that encouragement. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who will encourage you always, who will live within you, who will be there with you no matter what you're going through. He went on a little bit later in the same chapter. He said, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything that I've told you. So you don't have to worry about being alone. And you know, you think the disciples, as they're hearing Jesus is going to go, they're thinking, wait, we've been depending on you. Like we've been depending on your encouragement to keep us motivated, to keep us on the right track, to tell us when we're wrong, to help us know what to do in all these crazy situations we encounter. He says, don't worry. It's going to be better, actually, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who will be with you wherever you go. He'll live inside you and guide you. So we say, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you're giving me comfort. You're giving me grace. I get to share that with others. And that's not just a past tense thing, like we look back in time and go, wow, God really helped me back then. No, God is walking with us through life. He is encouraging us every day. Okay, so how can we encourage each other? We could probably make a long list, and we did, right? That's the 30 days of encouragement ideas. You know, we can remind one another of truth. We could be there in the ups and downs, comfort people who are in trouble or need help, pray with and for each other, offer words of encouragement. I know for some of you, you'd say that's like your love language, like you need somebody to say nice things to you. That's really, all of us speak that language, so all of us need that. Some of you are exceptionally good at it, and it's great. Use that gift. But I wanted to put one more on the screen. It comes right out of one of our scriptures today, and I don't really have any some sort of pastoral agenda in putting this one up here. You've got to trust me. But showing up at church is actually really important in this whole equation, okay? Because the apostle did say in Hebrews, don't neglect your meeting together, encourage one another. Okay, so that's, you know, we have all sorts of contexts where that happens, right here in worship service or in life groups or in life stage ministries and Bible studies and fellowships. The point is, as you engage with people, you draw strength from them, you get encouraged. If you start disconnecting from those things and you don't regularly rub shoulders with other believers, you probably will fall to discouragement eventually. We weren't designed to walk as disciples by ourselves, kind of in some sort of, you know, hermit cabin or something, just reading our Bible. We're supposed to be together walking this road as we follow Jesus. So showing up at church is really important. Hebrews says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So you look at your calendar and you say, you know what? I realize there's competing priorities and we all have those, but we have to prioritize our connection to one another. It's the day that you wake up and you're like, oh, man, I just feel too overwhelmed to go to church. Guess what? That's the day you need to come to church. Or it's the day that you're like, oh, well, every night this week we've had something. I think I'll just skip life group. That's the week that you probably need the life group. Don't neglect the meeting together. Neglect something else in life, but not this, because this is about your encouragement, your strength, your walk with the Lord, being strong and continuing forward. So we have a couple steps. We're going to have some fun. All right, we're going to practice this. Now, if you're an introvert, take a deep breath. It's not going to be too hard, okay? Some of you extroverts are like, sweet, we're going to give a word, okay. So, yes, we're going to give a word. There's going to be two little projects here. One we're going to do in this room right now. The other we're going to do over in the gym as we leave, okay? It's easy stuff. And you will be encouraged, and hopefully you can offer a little encouragement as you do these two things. But it would be, to me, kind of amiss to talk all about encouraging each other and then go home in silence, right? So we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about this. We're going to actually offer some encouragement. So giving a word of encouragement, like I said before, is a little bit more than just giving the high five. You can do that. You can say, hey, have a great day. But that's like, we want to go a little stronger than that, all right? So I'm going to give you two prompters to start your encouragement with. One is the word remember. So if you say, I really don't even know what to say, this is the easier one, okay? Just think about a truth of God, truth of Scripture, and just challenge somebody to remember that, okay? So it's not just going, hey, you're great, but I could look over here and say, Colin, remember that God loves you. Or I could say, Larson, like, God has a plan for your life. And okay, that would be, you guys would be saying, well, that feels a little different than just sort of general preaching, right? Because it's targeted, like it's at me. So you can do that. You just think of one characteristic of God and you say, and you're allowed to steal the ones I just used as samples too, if you want to. You say, yeah, God loves you is a great thing to say to anybody. So one would be to just say to someone to remember that, okay, right? Eye to eye. The other is ICNU, okay? Four letters that represent something. I like that little acronym just because it helps me remember to do this. It's actually saying, I see something in you. I see in you potential. I see in you encouragement or care. I see in you an opportunity to serve the Lord. I see, and it might be something really specific. You know, maybe somebody is really great at something and you just want to let them know that. Like, I see that. I see that in you. I want to encourage you in that. Okay, so this is not complicated. I'd like you to pick one of those two prompters. And I'm going to ask you for just 30 seconds to turn to someone around you and say something encouraging to them. Give them a word of encouragement. Now, if you are like, you're looking at your husband, you're like, I don't want to say something nice to him today. Okay, we get that. So I want you to encourage, just pivot a little bit so you're looking at somebody else right now before we start, and then, you know, kind of cover for it. But hey, whoever it is that's around you, go ahead and give them a word of encouragement and then let them give you a word of encouragement. Starting right now, go for it. All right, how many of you are having a little bit of fun with this? Say, this is a good thing. Okay, how many of you would say, I enjoy someone encouraging me this way? Just a few of you? I'm thinking it's probably a higher. You're like, you're willing to hear this stuff, right? How many of you would say you actually found a little bit of joy in saying something nice to someone else? There's a first time for everything, right? And it's amazing. So you've got the opportunity now to just keep doing that. There's no limitation on how many people you could encourage. Give them a word, something intentional that challenges them, that inspires them, that reminds them of great things. So here's the second part of our challenge, and that is that out in the gym, we've set up stations with postcards where you can write a challenging postcard note to anyone else in the church that you want to. It could even be outside the church, but this is kind of a one another thing. So here's all you have to do. You don't have to know their address or anything. You just write their name, like on the postcard where you would write someone's name, and then write the note, and the church will put the stamp on it, and the church will fill in the rest of the address. And your job is just to offer some encouragement. We'll drop all those in the mail this week and spread some good cheer, some good word to one another, all right? So as soon as I say amen to our final prayer, you've got to leap up and stampede in there because I don't know if there's enough cards. So you want to make sure you're first to the table to do this, right? All right, so you ready? Got someone in mind? This is the easiest assignment ever. It's going to be lots of fun. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us so many reasons to rejoice, so many reasons to be kind, pouring kindness and encouragement into our lives. Now we want to share words of encouragement and postcards of encouragement with other people. Lord, we look forward to the fruit of that endeavor, knowing that not only do we get to inspire another person, but someone else may inspire us to keep doing those love and good deeds, to keep following you closely. Lord, we're so, so grateful for the fact that you walk next to us and we get to walk next to one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have fun. God bless you. We'll see you next week.